Why is the shopping cart always in the top right of the screen?
How do companies predict my purchases?
Why do prices end in 9?
Why do fast food companies use red and yellow in their logos?
Why do restaurants always have one expensive menu item?
Researchers, marketers, and very curious people seek the answers for how we make decisions and how we choose products. ClickSuasion finds the secrets that companies use and shares them with you.
Why do I feel better when I bought the last remaining airline ticket?
How do I make choices based on colors and fonts?
Welcome back to ClickSuasion. It's Michael Barbera. Today we're here with Krista Moore. Here's a couple of things we know about Krista. First, she is a phenomenal rock star speaker. Secondly, she is the guru of sales. And third, we know that she has a book coming out or is out now. Krista, tell us something that we do not know about you.
Okay. What you don't know about me is that I grew up in a small coal mining town in Pennsylvania and lived above the local bar. And that's how I was raised.
For some people, living above the local bar is a dream location.
Actually, it was pretty cool in high school when my parents went on vacation, but it was a family-owned business and a lot of hours, but a great way to grow up. It really was.
When I was a lot younger, a friend of mine had a two-bedroom apartment above a bar and asked me to be his roommate. I was like, okay, I'll consider it. Went to the apartment during, of course, bar peak hours and just got a feel for the environment. Although there would be so many fun activities on the weekends, I just felt that I would never get any sleep if I was to reside in that apartment.
I remember my bedroom was right above the bar, and I could hear everything. So there would be the pinball machines and people talking and the TV blaring and music blaring. And then right outside my bedroom window was like this flashing light. Freddy's in. And I didn't get much sleep.
Tell us in tweet form about your new book.
The title is Race to Amazing, and it's the fast track to sales leadership. And it's to help business owners, sales professionals up-level their leadership.
Okay. What about the not-so-tweet-friendly version?
What I've seen in my career is the number one differentiator for companies that are slow to grow and those that are knocking the ball out of the park is clearly effective sales leadership. And what happens is salespeople get promoted to management prematurely. They don't have the skills and the experience to be an effective sales leader. And often small and mid-sized businesses are wearing multiple hats. They might lack resources or the talent to lead a sales team successfully. And then we have large organizations that are faced with this daunting task of developing kind of the next generation of millennial sales leaders. So this book really hits home to be able to send the right message to get these individuals reflecting and learning and developing and growing into the leader that they can become, and quickly.
What are some of the wrong messages? What are the majority of us doing wrong when it comes to sales leadership?
I would say first and foremost is really gaining clarity on your own vision and really understanding your why as a sales leader and what your true talents are so that you can manage and lead playing big from your strengths and not trying to be somebody else.
So what are we doing right?
I think what some sales leaders do really well is they are focused on kind of the strategy components, the winning part, especially if they have a sales background or a business management background. They are looking at how can we change and adapt so that we can remain competitive in a highly competitive environment or against disruptive competitors.
So personally, I believe that everything we do is in sales. By trade, I'm not really a salesperson, but if I go to a restaurant and the server provides quality service, they are selling me on the amount I should tip. If I shake your hand when I meet you, I'm selling you on my authenticity and hopefully building trust. How could non-sales leaders benefit from the framework?
That's a great question. So you're right. I mean, we're kind of all selling all of the time. And there's a stereotype about sales that exists, and people don't want to be that sleazy used car salesman, you know, stereotype. A lot of coaches, as an example, and small business owners, they might be absolutely fabulous at their trade, but they don't understand, or they're a little afraid of the sales side of things, or they have a just a misconception of it. What they can certainly gain from the book is a tried and true kind of step-by-step process for creating a sales approach that is authentic. It's about authentic leadership. And it's creating a motivating and an inspiring leadership style that doesn't have to come across as the autocratic leader. And we believe that leadership is not a title. You know, it's who we are as individuals, and we're all leaders in our own lives. So it's getting kind of the right mindset around what leadership is and what sales is. And I like to teach this, the concepts in the book, to a group of business coaches, because they learn to ask questions and listen and coach. And I teach a coaching style of leadership that is very authentic, where you're just understanding and listening and asking great questions and learning more about the other person, so that whatever you're selling, you can align a solution that really connects to them. And it's not all about you. It's about your customer.
So I have a sales question from Kara, and Kara resides in San Mateo, California. And I could feel the emotion in her question as I read it. And Kara's question is, I despise sales. How do I make sales more fun for my personality, but still meet the objective?
Well, let's look at it and say that she is being asked by her company to sell. I mean, she might be in marketing, she might be in customer service, but there's a sales component of it that she sounds like she's kind of afraid of. And the first thing that I would say to her is to read some books. It's great to educate ourselves. There's a ton of books being written about sales and sales leadership. But I also think that there's a shift that's going on. And so when she's reading these books, she'll discover this. And the shift that we're seeing, and I call it changing conversations, the conversations that successful salespeople are having with their customer are not about price, product, and service. The conversations are more about the customer and their needs, and it's more of a consultative approach. It's listening, asking questions, understanding, and applying solutions, and being more of a trusted advisor. So it really requires kind of getting that stereotype out of your head and then gaining the skills to change those conversations so that it's more value to your client and they want to talk with you and they want your input and they want your feedback, and basically you're consulting with them rather than trying to sell them a product or a service.
So of course there's that gray line between gaining trust, and then also if you're a sales employee or a sales leader with another supervisor, you've got pressure, potentially KPIs you have to fall under, quotas. When you have that building pressure, how do you manage trust, authenticity, and ethics?
Yeah, and that's a good question as well, because sometimes that pressure is self-induced rather than real. So first I would sort that out, because if you're working under pressure and it's self-induced, it's likely you're kind of rushing through things, you're not thinking, you're using too much emotion, and it's very distracting, and you'll make bad decisions. So I would be real clear on where the pressure is coming from. If the pressure is certainly coming from your organization or your sales leader, then I think that there needs to be clearly establish what the expectations are. What are the goals? What are the expectations? How are you being held accountable? And get a clear understanding of that between you and your boss. Then the second thing I would say is have a great conversation around what can I do better or different to be more effective.
Let's talk about the what can I do. So you have a plethora of experience working with C-suite executives. Some C-suite executives are so far removed from day-to-day operations, and some are really involved. What could the non-sales leader, what could the C-suite executive do to enhance the quality of work balance for sales leaders and their teams?
Well, I think the best thing that they can do is to have clearly defined processes and systems so that people aren't reinventing the wheel every time. So let's say it is really understanding the sales approach and process and having that documented and having job aids and tools to make their jobs easier. They'll be able to get through that sales cycle that much quicker if they have the support of their company and the tools that they need. We often see the companies that have been in business for many, many years might be successful, but kind of dysfunctionally. So the sales reps are every time they have to put a proposal together, they're starting from scratch, or every time they're making their outbound calls, they're making up a new pitch. So this is having the emails, the social marketing, the power messaging, the proposals, the tools that kind of guide that rep through the sales process to shorten it. And naturally, that's going to close deals faster and also create a lot less stress on the salespeople to get through the pipeline.
If I was to ask you to pick up your pen or your pencil, you would more than likely pick it up with your dominant hand. And you would pick it up with your dominant hand without ever thinking about which hand should I pick it up with. It's so natural to you. It's a heuristic. What are some things that anyone in sales, from the sales team member, the sales leader, what is something they do every day that they just forget about, but is so basic they should really reflect more on?
I would say, the first thing that comes to mind for me is they start their day doing administrative functions when it is the high energy time of the day for most people. So they'll come in, they'll check their email, they'll go on social media, drink their coffee, kind of just, kind of ease into the day.
I feel like you're following me around all day.
And what happens is they're not as productive, and they're not getting the things that they need to get done. If they kind of measured how much time is selling time versus non-selling time, it's shocking. And then if they looked at what percentage of the time is in front of customers versus not in front of customers, and that could be even on the phone in front of customers or on a web meeting in front, they're not spending enough time doing their job. They get wrapped up in other tasks.
Krista, where can we find your book?
You can find the book on racetoamazing.com, the website. There's additional information there. There's a trailer on the book and also links to purchase it. And it's also available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and local bookstores and retailers.
You've allowed us to harass you. If any of the listeners want to harass you back, how could they contact you?
I would say the best way to contact me is through the Krista S. Moore author's page in Facebook, and also my Twitter, which is at @KCoachKrista.
Awesome. Krista, thanks so much for being a guest. We are appreciative of your insight and expertise.
Thank you very much. I also wanted to mention to connect on LinkedIn too. That tends to be where I have most of my business conversation.
Look for Krista S. Moore on LinkedIn, pick up her book, listen to her content, get motivated, get inspired, and of course, get to amazing. Until next time, this is Michael Barbera. Go ahead and subscribe to ClickSuasion wherever you get your podcasts, and we'll let you know when the next episode is available.
Thanks for listening to ClickSuasion. Subscribe to the podcast, read our research, and get in touch with us at ClickSuasion.com. You can also find us on Twitter with the handle @ClickSuasion.